Well, I think I'm going to kind of scrap my notes today, honestly. That can be dangerous or that can be a really good thing. We'll see. Maybe it's a little bit of both. But now, how many of you, when you get to the close of the year, if you've been around Christian circles for long enough, quite often around now or into the first week, you hear this scripture from Isaiah 43, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. All right, well, anyway. Isaiah 43, behold, I will do a new thing. Do you not know it? Can you not sense it? I'll even make, what is it? A path in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now that promise is true, so I don't want to take away from that. I'm not knocking anybody that would declare that thing as a prophetic word, because all of God's word is prophetic in nature. It comes from him. And so it will establish what it's supposed to do. But I often don't share this because I don't want to just share it to share it because it sounds good. It's New Year, let's talk about a new thing. Because many times in our society, we're always looking for the new thing. We're always looking for that next thing because we don't want to live in our current present condition. We want something else. But can I remind you, God's placed you where you are right now for a reason? That aside, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to proclaim it today, because I just did, and I am proclaiming that there is a new thing that God is doing, but this is the understanding that we need to have. We need to have the understanding that when it says that God is going to do a new thing, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to literally be something that he's never done before. Sometimes he does that, but more often than not, he does an old thing to new people or old things in a new way. You haven't experienced the goodness of God. You haven't experienced the miraculous power of God. Well, that's a new thing for you. But my God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says in Malachi, I am the God, the Lord your God, that does not change. And that's something you can take to the bank this morning. In a world that continuously shakes, in a world that continuously is up and down, and people flow with this wind and that wind, whether you're talking politically or spiritually or in the church or outside of the church or in families, people are up and down. It's hard to know which way is up. In 2023, which way is up? In 2024, I pray that we get clarity of which way is up. But I want to let you know that God is going to do some things that perhaps you've never experienced before, but he's done it in the past. And I'm telling you, I want to experience what God has done. When the Israelites were led by the Lord with a cloud by day and a fire by night, I'm telling you, we need to be led by the Lord in such a way. We have that. It's a little bit different. The new way he does that is he leads us by his Spirit. He places his fire inside of us. He places his light inside of us. He gives us his cloud at times, when often we come into that place like we did this morning, that place of worship and that place of praise. His cloud will come in. But before we get too far with this, I don't want to just hype you up this morning. I want you to understand that God's calling us to something greater. And by greater, I mean it's going to take a lot less of us and a lot more of him. Turn with me. This is not an unfamiliar passage, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, and then we're going to go to Psalm chapter 22. And those are where we're going to camp for today. In Matthew 16, this encouraging verse for you. This is your word for 2024. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. But let me read that again. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Isn't that what you wanted to hear today? Deny yourself. I don't say this arrogantly or pridefully. I say this as I hear it from the Spirit speaking to me. Deny yourself, Chris. Deny yourself of the earthly lust. Deny yourself of the things that are so easy to captivate your attention and follow hard after me. Pick up your cross. Get on that cross so that you can be exactly who I've created you to be. You could say, oh, this is a harsh message. Well, yeah, it seems harsh to the flesh, but this is the only way to life. And so the message for you today is we must, to get into 24, journey again through the cross. We must journey through the cross. Because on this side of the cross, prior to allowing the blood of Jesus to wash away our sin and receive that forgiveness and that redemption, prior to us submitting ourselves to the lordship of King Jesus, everything is plagued with all the things that this world is currently experiencing. And even Christians continue to experience because they choose. Because once you choose to believe in Jesus, you still have a choice every single day of your life. Whether you're going to be on this side of the cross or the other side of the cross, through the cross. Whether you're on this side living a life double-minded and unstable in all your ways because you know of the Spirit and what is good, but you also know what is of the flesh and what it desires. And you camp between these two opinions. And you find yourself experiencing the same emotions as the rest of the world, anxiety, depression, you feel guilt, you feel all these different things. But on the other side of the cross, to the new creation in Christ Jesus that we were talking about several weeks ago, about restoring the identity of who we are as sons and daughters of the King, you're only a son and daughter of the King on the other side of that cross. Only through the blood do you become part of that inheritance. Only through the cross, through the denying of ourselves and of our flesh, are we able to reap the benefits of life and life more abundantly, to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be freshly flowing in our lives. And so I remind you today, deny yourself. You don't get to pat yourself on the back for saying, I'm going to deny myself. No, it's a literal act of surrender. It's a literal place. Think about it. You even need help getting on the cross if you're going to get on that cross today. At best, you can nail your feet to that cross. You can nail one hand, but you're still left with a free hand and a hammer. You need Jesus to come and allow you to be fully crucified. Those parts that you don't want to give up. These parts were easy. That part was easy, even though it could still be difficult. I mean, I don't want to put a spike through my feet, my ankles, or hands, but you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes it's easier to let some things go than others. Some of you, when you came to Christ, it was instantaneous work by the Spirit that you were delivered from drug addiction. You were delivered from certain things, and you just found yourself flowing in this way that was different. But how many of you know there's other areas of our lives that it's like that one hand with that hammer, and you need Jesus to come? Or you need a brother or sister in Christ through the power of Jesus to come and allow you to be completely surrendered to that cross so that he can get that glory. Unless you go to that cross and allow yourself to completely die, you never receive resurrection life. You never receive that miracle unless you die. Do you understand that? I don't know about you, but I want the resurrection power of Jesus in every area of my life. When I come into my child's bedroom and my child's sick, I don't want to just pray hoping that that child will become healed. No, I want to come in the power of Jesus and declare that this child is healed, because what the enemy has come to bring, that was on the other side of the cross. But on this side of the cross, this thing cannot dwell. This thing has no right. This thing has no authority. And the enemy has done such an amazing job at lying to us, in allowing us to live under slavery, to live under bondage for things that we've been set free of. We've been emancipated. You guys remember the Emancipation Proclamation? In history class, at least. None of you I know were alive during that time. But you know, when that decree was made, when that proclamation was made, it didn't instantaneously mean that every single slave in the United States of America understood that they were free. And for years after, many slave owners fooled their slaves into bondage in thinking that, oh, it's not yet. It's going to happen. It's coming. It'll be, but it's not fully. There's certain things that still need to take place. Or they just didn't tell them at all. But I mean, there's multiple lies that took place. But the thing is many times we don't operate in the fullness of who God has created us to be. The authority is we are born again, new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. We walk with authority. We walk with kingship, daughtership, sonship. We walk with an inheritance, a full inheritance. But we choose the things on the other side of the cross because we listen to the lies of the enemy that say, oh, it's not yet. You know, that's for some, but not you. But I'm telling you, there's fullness in Christ. There's freedom in Christ. But the message today is to get to that place of the cross yet again. To deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 22. This is a very powerful psalm, and you probably haven't read it this way that I'm about to read it, because this is a very prophetic song in song in nature that declares the anguish of Jesus upon the cross and a lot of things that this is still a psalm of David. So when David's writing this, it's a both end. What I mean is that he's going through anguish himself. He's feeling and experiencing some things in his own life that he writes about, but there's a simultaneous prophetic unction that the Lord gives him. And as he declares these things, these are things that Jesus himself will go through. And when Jesus is on the cross, he will point back to this psalm that many would know to say, this is what I'm experiencing right now. This is the fulfillment of this. But I want you to hear these words a little bit differently this morning. My God, why have you forsaken me? Let me just pause there. Not just my God, not just God, but my God. You could just hear and sense the anguish in that cry. Have you ever felt like that? God, why have you forsaken me? You feel like he's forsaken you when the truth is he hasn't. The word of God also says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But just because you feel like it doesn't mean that he's not there or that he hasn't orchestrated things or he doesn't have a plan or he doesn't have a miracle on the other side of what you're currently experiencing. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Let me pause there for a second again. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. This psalmist knows something. Let me just backtrack. When he's saying, my God, this is not going to be a cry of an unbeliever. This is my God, I know you. I have a relationship with you. But in this moment, I'm feeling separated from you. This is the heart of a true believer. That even in the midst of those moments, it says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. There's a glimmer of truth that we need to always hang on to in the midst of any circumstance that we find ourselves in. When we were praising this morning, this verse just kept being highlighted to me. Our praise is such a weapon. Our praise truly is warfare. And it's not just praise meaning a fast song or a certain type of style. It's that tehillah, I think, is the praise word. That extravagant type of praise that is unlike anything else. Meaning that you get into that place of praising God because you recognize how holy, how separate he is. And regardless of what's going on around you, you praise him because you can't do anything but praise him. You may dance, you may fall on the floor, you may this morning not have to do anything too extravagant, but just simply wait in the presence of the Lord, but just praise because that's all you've got. All of us find ourselves in different circumstances, in different scenarios, but all of us were created to praise our Maker. All of us were created for that very thing. And so it's important that psalmist ties that in here. He'll come back to it several verses later. But he says, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man. I'm nothing. A reproach of men and despised by the people. Even though he knows at this point, I'm not sure the exact point in which this was written, he's already destined to be king. He's already destined to rule over all of Israel. Many times he was chased. Many times he was gone after. They went for his life. And he's feeling like the lowest of the low. A reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shout out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Sounds like a lot of the voice of society today. Who is this God that you worship? You might as well just worship and serve yourself. There's no God. Jesus, he's a figment of your imagination. What lies? What lies this morning? What darkness covers the earth this morning that would try to shroud the glory of King Jesus? You cannot do it. Man tries in a futile escapade to try to do so, but it's worthless, it's meaningless, because you cannot shroud the glory of King Jesus. He may wait, he may be patient, he may be long-suffering in his desire to see all of the earth come to the knowledge of him, but that does not shroud his glory. That does not take away from his goodness. That does not take away from his love. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan, and have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. This is utter distress. This is utter turmoil. This is God. My heart aches and I didn't even know it could ache in that place. I didn't know I could even feel these types of things. What humanity can experience in this life. The other side of the cross. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. You could see this as true of David, but also of Jesus on the cross, just surrounded by those spewing the rejection, the blasphemy, the Roman soldiers just snarling at him, the ones that beat him. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them and my clothes. For my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. And then something interesting happens right in the middle of this verse. You have answered me. There's no bridge. There's no rhyme or reason, so to speak, why all of a sudden this dramatic shift. But this is kind of like the way that it needs to be for us today. At the close of 2023, all of a sudden the light turns on and you recognize you've answered me. You've answered me. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears. And he delivers them from all his troubles, his distresses. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears. You are the righteous. Don't let anyone lie to you and say that you're not. You don't have your own righteousness this morning. If you are a believer in Jesus, you carry and are clothed in his righteousness. You have answered me. And then just watch the shift to the end of this chapter. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel. Wasn't this the man that just said, I'm a worm? Wasn't this just the man that said, I'm poured out like water. I've got nothing left. I've got no strength. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. They're snarling and gathering around me like dogs. They want my blood. I've got nothing left, and I feel like my God has forsaken me. But all of a sudden, this is one who died a death and all of a sudden went through the cross and saw what life is in the spirit, life as a believer in Jesus Christ. One that can declare the praises of God and will spur others on to praise him as well. Verse 23 again. You fear the Lord, praise him, and all you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Fire family, let your heart live forever. Eternally, in the glory and the understanding of what Jesus has done for you. To rid you from that rejection, to rid you out of that place of death, to rid you out of that place of depression, to rid you out of that place of anxiety and worry and guilt and fear and shame. All the foolishness that comes with the other side of the cross and bust through to the other side. Possess the promised land. I beckon to say, when the Israelites actually asked Moses, did the Lord bring us here to die? When they saw the enemy's armies coming from Egypt. And we know what happens, of course, the Lord creates a miracle and allows them to cross to the other side. But I believe the Lord's answer was actually yes. Not physically, but spiritually. To your understanding that anything in this natural world has power over you. That when the enemy that kept you in bondage before tries to come back and ensnare you again, he cannot conquer you. Because I've made a way of deliverance. You believe in me, you look to me, you will possess the promised land. If you want to stay here and believe that you're woe is me, I'm just a worm, you could die on that other side. But his desire and his destiny for you is to go through and to reap all the benefits. All the benefits. Possess that promise in 2024. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And the families of the nations shall worship before you. What an amazing picture. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. That he has done this. That Jesus went to the cross, experienced all of that, so that that night could become a day. So that dark night could become a victorious, exuberant day of praise and exaltation amongst all the nations. Jesus fulfilled the prophecies in this book. Somebody agrees with me. How about over here? Do you believe that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies in this book? Because if he was not the one that went to the cross for our sins and was resurrected, then there's no reason for us to be here. We should say 2023, all right, we'll just close everything down. We won't come back next week. But because he rose from the dead, because he did exactly what he said he would do and is right now in the rightful place, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us and inviting us into that place with grace, empowering us to be able to stand in that place, bow in that place, worship in that place, pray in that place with him, then we've got a reason to celebrate. We've got a reason to shout. We've got a reason to praise. We've got a reason to have joy every single day of 2024. Don't let anyone, hear me, listen to me. Don't let anyone rob you of your joy in 2024. Don't let anyone rob you of your position in Christ, because it cannot be taken by anyone. The blood of Jesus is still real. And if he healed the blind man in the book of Acts, he can heal your blindness. He can heal your family's blindness. If he caused the lame to walk 2,000 years ago, he causes the lame to walk today. He will do a new thing, an old thing, new. If he resurrected the dead then, he'll resurrect the dead now. Are you hearing me? They're not just fairy tales in this book. The Old Testament is not just a bunch of amazing stories put together for us to say, wow. No, but it's to teach us something. It's to show us something of a better way and ways of the Lord and nature of God being revealed generation to generation. They will speak of it. They will speak of this truth to a generation that is yet to be born. Guess what? You are that generation this morning. That generation that was yet to be born, that would see and walk in the fullness that Christ had to offer, that David experienced in a moment. It's about time we saw that flip of the switch, that regardless, it's like all this is swirling. I don't see how it's going to happen. I don't see how it's going to come through. My life just never seems to turn right side up. It's like I'm going to take one step forward and 10 steps back. Don't speak those lies over your life any longer. Allow the flip to switch and come through the other side of the cross this morning into victory. There's victory for us. Victory in Jesus is in the cute hymn today. It's a reality. Victory in Jesus. Come on. I know you're hearing me this morning because your heart cries out for reality. Your heart cries out for the authentic, the part that's inside of your spirit's crying out as deep cries out unto deep this morning, because as I mentioned in weeks past, the entire earth cries out for the revealing of the sons and the daughters of God. You must be revealed, and you can only be revealed if you understand who he has created and made you to be, what he purchased through his own blood, what he allows us to experience through the infilling and continual infilling of his spirit. Paul commanded them to be filled and be continually filled. We leak sometimes. And that's why sometimes you come in this place in the sanctuary to worship and you don't feel like worshiping. But there's something that shifts. I don't know how many different times in my life I've experienced those moments when, you know, whatever I was doing, I was just not entertaining the Lord. I was serving myself on this other side of the cross in whatever measure, entertained by other things. And when you do that, you feel slowly, you feel dirty, you feel like you're not worthy. You feel like all these other things begin to come around you. And you're like, man, I feel tired. I feel, you know, like you feel these things. But then all of a sudden, that worship song will come on and my heart begins to leap. Because you resonate with something that is spirit and is not flesh oriented. And then your heart gets excited and your way out of that place of bondage is through praise. The way out of that place, the way to go through the cross is praise. The way through the cross is to forgive even when people don't deserve to be forgiven. The way through the cross is to look through the lens of love. The way through the cross is to say, even though my God, why have you forsaken me? I understand my assignment. I complete it. It is finished, and I will worship you. I surrender to you my very being because I know that you have promised in 3 days I will rise again. So though they slay me, like Job would say, yet will I trust him. That regardless of circumstance, I can have joy in every moment. That, like Peter would say, that these trials of various kinds, I mean, there's so many different things that we can experience the joy in the life of God in. And there is nothing compared to being on that other side of the cross. So can I say to you, with love and with compassion this morning, die. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him so that we can be the sons of God that walk in the fullness of his spirit and his power. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I promised you I'd be short. Deny yourself every day. I die daily. I die daily. Not to be some kind of masochistic fool who likes punishment. No, I give these things up willingly, just like Jesus willingly laid down his life because of the joy set before him. I lay down my life and my fleshly desires because I know, we all know, that sin only pleases for a season. It's temporal at best. Your momentary gratification is not worth sacrificing the glory of God on the other side of the cross. I'm not trying to strengthen your will this morning because our wills are not good enough. We need the power and the grace of God to walk us through. Maybe you need a fresh baptism this morning to be baptized in Christ, to put to death the things of the old life, to be resurrected in new life in Christ. There's a reason for that. There's a reason we do that. And Christ calls us to it. It's because he knows we need to see and understand that old man is gone, fully submersed, fully gone. We're going into a season this new year. The word that I heard from the Lord was, I want to abide with you. I want to abide with you because when Jesus lived on this earth, he left an example for us, right? And he said, I must abide with my Father and I don't do anything apart from him. Anything that I do, it's only because I see the Father do it. If I say something, it's because I heard the Father say it. And Jesus said, abide with me because apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In Corinthians, it talks about different ones that would follow after Apollos and follow after this man because this man's watering and or this man's sowing seeds and this man's watering. But what's the example that's shown even there? It is God who alone gets the increase. God must do the work. We must surrender so that he can operate through us. We don't get the glory. He gets the glory. And as 2024 comes into light and the judgment of God comes upon the household of faith because he starts in the household of God, you will see many things shake, many things fall, but the glory of God will come in great measure, especially to those who call upon his name and say, not my will, but your will be done. I want to abide with you, Jesus. I want to be a recipient of the fruit of the vine. I want to be a partaker of communion. communion with God every single day. 2024, if you've never fasted before, you need to get into this time of prayer and fasting. January 7th through the 27th, you don't have to start then. You can start before, you can start after, whether you're going the whole time or not. I think Jacob, look at me. We have things in the back. Yes, we do. Okay, so Terry's got some guides in the back. If you've never fasted before, read through the guide. I'm not going to take time this morning to get into all those details. So many different ways that you can fast. But fasting, let me just say this loud and clear. It's not to change God, it's to change us. It's to allow us to be transformed into something that He wants us to be. It gets all the distractions out and allows us to hear clearly. You feel like 2023 was full of fuzz and misunderstanding? Well, guess what? The best way to clean that slate is to get into a place of prayer and fasting where you literally deny yourself. There's no greater way to deny yourself in this life than to deny yourself food, really. I mean, there's many other pleasures that you can deny yourself of, but you need food to live. You do. And so when you deny yourself of that, especially in a land of abundance and plenty like we live in, that sometimes we even, don't get me off on that, but we want life more abundantly. We don't even realize that we're in a nation of abundance. Excess, in fact. We should be thanking God for all the blessings that He has given us. Even on our worst day, He's blessed us with so much. Let's go into a season of abiding. We'll talk about that in the next few weeks as we start the year. But I want us to declare some things across this room. Before we do, maybe you just need a moment with the Lord right now. I got to be sensitive to that. I can't move on too quickly. I want you to just close your eyes. Because it seems like today has been one of those days where you're not one of the people that God is moving on. He's moving on all of us, but the people that He's shining His light on this morning are the ones that don't like people yelling at them, that don't like extravagant examples or expressions even of faith. You're more of the, you like to read your word and get captivated by God through reading and meditation and those moments. God loves you so extravagantly this morning. And even though you find yourself in that broken place where you feel like you've lost connection and it isn't the way that it used to be, the Lord's saying, I'm going to do a new thing for you. I'm going to do an old thing new. Right now this morning, if you need to just say, I deny myself again. I'm choosing to lay down my life. I'm choosing to lay down my rights. To surrender, a beautiful surrender, so that I could reap the best thing ever, ever for all eternity. Jesus. Just take a moment to confess to the Lord where you're at. Let Him know the cries of your heart. David did it. He was very honest. He said he was a worm. He said a lot of other things. Confess it to the Lord, your moments, where you're at, how you feel, and invite the presence of God to set you free in each and every one of those things. You're feeling afraid? Receive the Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind this morning. Feel like you're anxious? The Lord wants to bring you peace and restoration to wholeness of a relationship with Him. Confidence that comes when His presence comes. Boldness that comes when His presence comes. You need His presence? Just cry out to the Lord right now. If quietness makes you uneasy, stillness makes you uneasy, surrender that too. Invite Him into this space. Holy Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm going to proclaim this blessing over you. I proclaim some blessing over some folks in here this morning, but this is for all of us. This is a blessing for all of us, and then we're going to declare a couple of things together as we close. But just receive this. You can put your hands up and just receive this from the Lord, that each and every one of these things are based on Scripture. God's blessings rest upon you this day. You are pleasing to the Lord, and He enjoys your fellowship. You are well favored and more than able to receive His abundant provision. God's angels accompany you on your right hand and on your left. They shall guide you. God's goodness and mercy shall follow close behind you and be the guardians between you and your past. God has determined that you shall have good success because you move in faith and in strong courage. Your eyes shall see the salvation of the Lord. He shall keep you safely under His wings and pinions. I declare this day that you are protected and delivered from the evil of the day. You shall not stumble nor fall, for Holy Spirit has anointed your eyes with the eye salve to see clearly and has given you ears of the Spirit to hear precisely. You will be wise in your generation. Your soul will rest in God's shalom. He has declared you to be strong and pleasing in His sight. You will eat the fruit of His promises in the land of the living and will enjoy long life and length of days because you have wholly trusted in the Lord your God. Your habitation shall be a place where you will rest in His love, find hope for tomorrow, and joy shall strengthen you as you rest upon your bed. He shall restore your soul and give you rest in the stillness and quietness of your home. In your prayer chamber, the Holy Spirit shall birth a creative and powerful mind and give you sound ideas that will bring you promotion and great favor. He shall give you fresh anointings and bless your ministry with good results. The Lord is pleased with you and has placed His name upon your forehead. Call upon Him and He will show you great and mighty things you know not of. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. Now stand together with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you believe the Lord's going to multiply what He's given you in 2024? It's going to be a lot of promises that come to pass in 2024. I mentioned with our elders a couple weeks ago, and I didn't realize that, I guess according to the Hebrew calendar, that it actually does say this, the year of the open door, 2024, the year of the open door. I guess just like I mentioned when I don't like cliches, I don't like those things where the Lord will do a new thing, but when He speaks it, He means it. And I just felt the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago just speaking to my heart, saying it's going to be a year of open doors. It's going to be a year of open doors. I'm like, 2024, year of the open door. Oh, Lord, this is too much. But no, friends, you better understand the doors that have been shut for too long are now open, and you better go running through that door when the Lord opens it. And in fact, I encourage you to open the door to your heart. Open the door to your heart and invite the Lord in. Because the door in Revelation that the Lord stands on and knocks is not the door of the unbeliever, it's the door of the believer. It's the door of the one who has his heart that is cold. He's saying, if anyone opens the door, I will come in and be with him and dine with him and sup with him and he with me. He's calling us to abide in 2024, the year of the open door, to abide with him. You've got an open door, open access to the throne room of heaven, and you're going to receive revelation of that like you've never experienced before. So abide with him in that and get ready to walk through and run through those doors of opportunity. When they come, don't be afraid. Don't second guess it. If the Lord has promised it, run through it. Don't hesitate. He won't let you stumble. He won't let you fall. He'll stop you. He won't allow the door to be open if he doesn't want you to run through it in this next year. I'm telling you, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I could go over declarations all day, but we'll just go over a couple. Is that all right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just declare this with me. My prayers are powerful and effective. God richly supplies all my needs. I am dead to sin and alive to live supernaturally. I walk in ever-increasing health. I live under supernatural protection. Like Jesus, I prosper in all my relationships. I consistently bring God encounters to other people. Each of my family members is wonderfully blessed and radically loves Jesus. Whether you're saying these things in faith or as a reality, we declare these things. I uproariously laugh when I hear a lie from the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is on my side. Therefore, I declare I cannot be discouraged nor defeated. I am the head and not the tail. I have insight. I have wisdom. I have ideas and divine strategies. I have authority. As Abraham did, I speak God's promises over my life. My faith is being strengthened to possess all that Jesus won for me. I have a sound mind. Today, I will think the right thoughts, say the right words, and make the right decisions in every situation I face. I expect to have powerful divine appointments every day to heal the sick, raise the dead, prophesy life, lead people to Christ, bring deliverance, release signs and wonders, and bless everywhere I go. I expect that today will be the best day of my life. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and financially, in Jesus' name. We declare these things for 2024. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let's worship him like you believe it. Amen.